When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 o'clock hour here on a football Friday. It's Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We'll have a little college football kegger for you at 8:20. Mike McCarthy, can and will he change a car battery? That's coming up at 8:40 this morning as we get set for the former defensive coordinator and the Washington Commanders on Sunday. We've talked about the revenge factor a couple of times on the show, and we need your selections, by the way. We need your official picks. See if you can keep it rolling with the predictions on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. We've talked about Dan Campbell's revenge, Kellen Moore revenge. Do you think there's any revenge factor with Dan Quinn? The least of the three, and maybe nothing.
Yeah, no, there's probably revenge factor for other people, like players. Like I would imagine Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, Joe Witt, like those guys have revenge factors.
You heard McCarthy's love for Joe Witt this morning with us too, right? You heard that?
I did hear that. Yeah, he's a Joe Witt fan. There's Joe Witt was ready to leave though. I think Joe Witt was ready to go.
I think that this is gonna be one of those games. Like I would expect, if this starts to get out of hand, that the foot be taken off the gas a little bit by Washington. Okay. Dan Campbell wanted to make a statement. I don't think Dan Quinn is looking to make any statement here.
They may not need to take their foot off the gas if it gets bad enough. I mean, that's what's happened the last couple weeks. The last couple weeks, just running Dallas's defense has gotten exhausted.
Yeah. Micah Parsons was asked yesterday about going up against DQ.
Oh, man. I would say, man, me and Q still talk to this day. He sends me up texts every week or two, more frequently. Recently, maybe trying to get in my head a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But no, he actually helped me get some tickets to the game, too, for my family. So that goes to show you what type of coach DQ is and the type of players coach he is, regardless of where you at, whether you're playing for him and things like that. He's always about his guys, and that's my guy. So, you know, it's going to be fun playing against him. I know he's going to have them rallied up. He's probably going to say it's shark week. It's fight night. We got to go to round 12. We got to knock him out. Rivalry game. I know it's old spill, but I'm Tommy Jones tonight. That's how I'm looking at it. Like, I'm Floyd this week, so it's going to be a fun game.
Holy crap, Micah was good yesterday.
His face was, he was lit up. Wow. He looked happy.
All right, Choppy, the five things you want to see.
All right, number one, the Turpin slant route. The fact that it has happened just two times this year is either a blatant lie or the most egregious strategic error since Custer split up his infantry at Bighorn. Okay, it's a good last stand hill reference for you there, Bobby.
Rob Marinelli would be proud.
If you trust Seth Walder, that is it. It's two slant routes run all year. Not even throwing it, just run.
I do trust Seth Walder. Number two, a downfield attack. You want to open up the running game a little bit? You know, how about you open up the passing game a little bit more? That might help. They're daring you to throw. The way this team runs the ball, I mean, they're probably daring you to run it too. But, downfield, that's what I want to see. I want the Cowboys to make Dan Quinn's defense looks so feeble that he turns that stupid hat around. That's what I want to see.
Does this destroy Colin Cowherd's theory that backwards hat person cannot be a leader and in charge of anything? Tony Romo, now Dan Quinn.
I don't know. Maybe if he had his hat forward, they wouldn't have blown a 28-3 Super Bowl lead.
Well, that's more of a Kyle Shanahan thing. But by the way, I will say it is criminal that that gets attached more to Dan Quinn than it does Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was in charge of that offense and decided to stop running the ball. Like he's the one who just decided to change everything they were doing on offense because they got up big.
Head coach is going to get all the praise, all the blame.
And
what it is.
And one thing we've noticed is Kyle Shanahan as a head coach has had similar problems.
No, wait. Let me think back on that. It's not crazy that Dan Quinn gets more blame.
Why?
He's the head coach. Was the head coach.
Yeah. Right, but if you
say on the head, you say on the headset, and Michael Lombardi has said this many a times, mixing some runs here or run the football, you overrule. That's what the head coach does. So, Dan Quinn deserves more blame. Or just as much.
I think if you go back and look at the way the offense was called, like, all the design changed when they got up big. Like, everything looked different. To me, it's Shanahan. And what we've seen is Shanahan, since becoming head coach, has become that same
Mike McCarthy,
guy.
If that was Mike McCarthy, you would freaking put all the blame on him as a lack of leadership, lack of head coach overruling. You would have a totally different take. And now you want to let Dan Quinn off the hook? He's the manager. He's in charge. He's the CEO.
Yeah.
It's on his watch first, and then Shanahan.
I don't talk about McCarthy on the defensive stuff, though. We talk about that as being Zimmer.
But that's
Dan Quinn's the defensive.
If Kyle called the plays, if it was Brian Schottenheimer and Mike was not calling the plays and the same thing happened, you would destroy McCarthy and it'd be justified.
That's the same side of the ball, though. Dan Quinn's a defensive coach.
But let's just say the defensive coach is out there running prevent defense, right? Trying to maintain a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And if the head coach doesn't want that, it's on him to say, hey, no. Let's call your normal defense.
Right, but universally, everybody talks about that it was the way they were calling their offensive game plan completely shifted in the fourth quarter. It wasn't as much of a defensive thing.
But you're missing.
What are you doing?
You are, I don't.
It's on Dan Quinn to say, run the ball. Every effing play, run the football. That's it. It's not. Stop trying to be nitpicky technical guy. That's what it comes down to. And you know that's the truth. Yeah, you are. He's at the start of the ball. But it's not his expertise. Choppy, just continue.
All right, number three. Jesus. I want 2+ turnovers forced
by the defense.
Somebody
replace this man's battery.
It's obviously on full charge. I'll put the jumper cables on your nuts. Put that on the KNC wheel.
Jumper cables on the genitalia. Ooh.
Can you imagine that?
Not even I would like that one.
Yeah.
I like just about everything, and I wouldn't like that. Number 2+ turnovers forced by the defense. That's the best chance you got to win. Force them into turnovers. Doesn't matter how. It's the best chance you got this week. 4, be aggressive, but don't be stupid. I don't think it was dumb to take the points off the board last week because you're that far downfield. You know, anyway, you get 15 yards, plus you get that far downfield.
You're talking about the
fourth down,
the second one. They keep the field goal.
Yeah, they hit the field goal. They made it. They got the penalty, 15 yards. They keep going. Mm-hmm. And then when they got inside, what, the 10
They were
five,
on the 4, right?
They were the 4. Yeah. I don't think it's dumb to go for it there. You're that close. What are the chances with this team you get that close again? You know, if you
What are your chances of scoring? What's the percentage of them scoring a touchdown there? I want this team.
This team, God.
Seriously, on the 4. Not on the 2, not on the 1.
But it was a 4th and 2, right? I think it was 4th and 2. They could have gotten a first down.
Yeah, it was a bigger issue of execution.
And what was the score in the game?
20-10 at that point, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a 20-10 game.
20-10?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
That was aggressive. It wasn't stupid. But be aggressive, but don't be dumb. Like, don't do...
Yeah, their fake punter's dumb.
Right. Thank you.
Their
execution's
dumb.
The execution's dumb. The play call is dumb. Ever, please, number 5, for the love of God, when you've got Washington in a 3rd and 8, just stay on sides, please.
Oh, my God.
Just don't.
Micah did it last week.
Yes. And just please, pre-snap penalties, limit those. If we can get less than, 2, I'll be happy on the pre-snap.
RJ Chapo, this preview. Now, Roberto, you have been on fire in calling the blowouts. A lot of times, right, I always think it's kind of soft when people always go, 10-6, 10-7 record. It's going to be a 6-point game, a 7-point game. I respect the stones on people with cable jumpers hooked up on them or not to pick some outrageous different scores. And you've been calling blowouts, so you start off.
I think that this is going to be something where... I do expect Dallas to have more success offensively this week than they've had the last couple weeks. Like, I think they will score more points. But ultimately, I don't see a scenario where they're able to consistently stop Washington from just marching down the field as much as they want and consistently as they want. And so I think this is going to be another blowout. Dallas's offense plays a little bit better, though. So I'm going to go in this one. I'm going to say Washington 35-16.
Whoa!
Wow.
35-16. RJ.
I've got...
And by the way, it is 10.5 right now and 45.5 for the over-under.
I got 27-10, Washington.
Oh, beat down.
Yeah, I think it's a... I just don't see it. The way this offense is playing.
Because you're not a Washington believer.
I'm not a Washington believer.
Did you pick a split against them, or was that with Dak?
That was with Dak.
Okay.
Yeah, now all bets are off. I'm not a Washington believer. I don't think this margin of victory is indicative necessarily of Washington. I think the team is A, they've quit. B, it's a road game off a short week. And then you got another short week ahead, and you got Cooper Rush. You're just limited. You know, at the end of the day, like this is, if this team was still healthy, I might pick the Cowboys. Like I might. But the way they are now with their quarterback and the fact that they probably quit on the coach, I'm out.
By the way, Chop, that would be under 39.5 points on the over under. You can get that right now plus 500. Washington covering the spread and under 39.5.
Pepe.
Oh, really?
Well, first off, the totals have spoken, and for I think the fourth or fifth week in a row, it's been all Cowboys losses on the fan text. 469 says 35-9 Washington, and they're all blowouts too. 425 says 34-13 Washington, and 940 says 27-13 Washington. I have 31-13 Commanders. And first off, it's a noon game. Well, 1 Eastern, you know, Micah doesn't show up for those games, doesn't play. And I just don't see how there's any room for improvement in this game, so I have Commanders winning by 18.
I want to say, like, last week it's going to be closer, and then it eventually gets away. I feel like the same thing. The Commanders seem to be losing some steam a little bit. They're not going to just come out here and, like, destroy you and overwhelm you. I think Brian Robinson, I absolutely love him. Eckler, I think he's going to be an X factor in this. 26-13. Something like that. And I want to even try to like make it a little bit closer. But I don't know how are the Cowboys scoring? You know, 26-13. That's going to be my prediction. This game with the overall, here's my hot take. The past few weeks, I've been regretting not betting thousands and thousands of dollars on these 7.5 point spreads. This spread would make me the most nervous that I've been over the past few weeks in betting. Obviously, it's 10.5. I also don't think Washington is like as awesome and dominant as they were earlier in the year. Now, Nick even brought up an interesting point. Has Jaden Daniels' ribs affected him with not throwing for 210 the past 2 weeks? Are you seeing any of that in his throws,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a question of if he's still banged up, like when you watch him play. I think it's been more in the way that Washington's designing things. Like, it looks like Washington's trying to protect him from getting hurt more, so they're trying not to put him, expose him and get him put out on the field more. It's Gus Mariota, Frat. Isn't it? I think it's Mariota.
I just found out the other day.
I didn't even realize this. Speaking of Gus Frat, he was Zeke's high school coach. I had no idea until that just came up the other
day.
He was Zeke's high school football coach.
No kidding.
I'm wondering why that's never been brought up before. But I'll say this. This is one of the things.
That's pretty cool.
I was having this discussion last night. Dallas, you look at the fact that it was a 4th-and-goal goal line catch against Pittsburgh and a game where Giants could have driven. Their margins are very thin away from being 1-9 right now.
Huge recruiting stories in the world of college football. Deion Sanders and Dave Portnoy at Barstool, the humongous winners. Does this mean that Deion is now staying at Colorado? The College Football Kegger with RJ Choppy, then Mike McCarthy, all next.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Travis Hunter is heading to the National Football League. That is not a surprise. But he is going to enter the draft, quote, for sure, and enter the NFL draft. And he says that he has every, and I do mean every intention of
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Playing both ways in the NFL. How feasible is that?
It's not.
Why?
Consistently, it's just not. Now, if he wants to do it in spots or spurts, that's fine. It'll be easier for him to do that if he's a full-time corner than it is if he's a full-time receiver. But playing him full-time that much, like most teams are going to say, no, our investment, the amount of money we're spending, we're not going to have you break down after 3 years.
How many reps at wideout? How many snaps at wideout? Because I'm having him play full-time corner. How many snaps can he get at wideout a game?
You probably don't want it any more than, I was going to say more like 8 to 10, probably. You find spots to use him. He is a really good receiver. Like he could be, if you want to talk about.
Who you compare him to?
Because
his size is it six?
He's six. One? He's like 6'1", 212. Man, I don't know that anybody stands out as a receiver with him. He does remind me as a corner of Ramsey. Like he's very similar to Ramsey. I would say on offense at receiver, I mean, there's a lot he does, you know, turning up field, his ball control, probably Hopkins, somebody similar to Hopkins. So do you want Hopkins or Ramsey? I mean, maybe a little less than Hopkins, but Godwin is another guy that I think he looks like at times. So,
okay.
But I mean, to me, his ceiling is a more consistent Ramsey.
Now, what if he says, or his agent Dion,
right,
says, I get 50% of the offensive snaps or don't draft me? What do you do as that team? I will make noise and we'll make it difficult. And we'll just say, we don't want to be drafted by anyone, including you, if you don't play me 40 to 50% of the snaps.
Then only the Raiders take him or somebody like that. Yeah. Somebody who's toxic enough to just let the player dictate it. But honestly, I think most teams would, if that was what they were saying, they would draft him and apologize later when they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, the game flow. Right, game flow. I just didn't work on the flow.
We meant to. Things just changed.
Because, like, you know, theoretically, like, you know, if he's going to do this, like, he, for as good as he is, you know, if he was playing in, I think, the SEC against that competition, we're going to find out a lot about his receiving this week. They play Kansas. Kansas got two NFL corners on their team. So we're going to find something out about his receiving ability.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean that he won't be good, because you still are. I mean, he's a tremendous talent. But those are good players on the other side, too. But, like, you know, if he had to play, you know, week to week, the same schedule Georgia played, where they got four top 10 teams on their schedule, like, would he be playing both sides of the ball with the same effectiveness? I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I will retweet right now the video I posted last week of his offense. Like, if you want to go see snaps of him playing receiver, you can just go look at my Twitter. I just retweeted film of it. He is really good.
Speaking of Colorado, Dion, a potential sign that he is not going to be going to the NFL or to Florida State or to the Dallas Cowboys, wherever. He got a commitment from one of the best quarterbacks in the country, Julian Lewis. I think he goes by the name of Juju Lewis. He is one of the best quarterbacks out of high school. I've seen him as high as number 2 overall. He was originally committed to USC, Maybe that's a little sign that Lincoln Riley ain't coming back.
Lincoln Riley.
So he is going to go to Colorado. This is a huge recruiting win for Deion. Deion has not really dipped his toes into the high school waters.
Yeah, because they get numb.
he has done mostly transfer portal to this time at Colorado, but he is going back to the high school well now, or going to the high school well, and he is picking up Julian Lewis, who is a very, very highly touted player. Huge get for Deion. Now, look, he could still leave. He could still take the Florida State job if it comes open. He could still go to the NFL. But as of right now, he is planning and recruiting as if he is staying with his kickstand down there at Colorado.
Which he did. I'm trying to remember who the corner was he got. He did secure a top recruit corner a couple years ago for Colorado, and then the kid transferred. It was like, this was toxic. I hated it here. So, I mean, he'll occasionally snipe one of these top-tier recruits, the ones that he feels like are worth investing in. But, yeah, there's no doubt about it. This is a big get for them.
Yeah. Now, nothing's official until, we're 3 weeks away from signing day, 4 weeks away from signing day. Mm-hmm. So it's getting close. 7 of the top 10 recruiting classes are in the SEC, 2 are the Big Ten, and there's Miami. There ain't any parity. It's, that's just the way. It's a very, very regional sport. However, LSU might drop.
Bye-bye. As I said, bye-bye, Brian Kelly.
Bryce Underwood has flipped his commitment.
Hell of a job, Connor.
Connor Stallions, we talked about this. He was set there for one reason, because he went and he joined that high school coaching staff for their playoff run, and he was the mole that was planted to get this kid to transfer and flip to Michigan. Now, LSU is getting close to when they have to make a decision. Because you...
Brian Kelly?
Yeah, because you want to have... Here's what you need. If you're going to fire Brian Kelly, because of when the recruiting period starts in December, like where you sign, you almost have to have a coach in place in the next 10 days. Because you got to contact all those recruits and convince them to stay. And you basically have to re-recruit all those guys. And that's the difficulty with this move, the signing period move from February to December, which happened a couple years ago. It's so much more difficult to fire a coach late. You got to fire a coach early if you want to do it.
I had another person who's familiar with those, like in the NFL, is familiar with the college circuit, tell me last week, they were like, I genuinely don't know how Brian Kelly effectively recruits the way he does, because everybody thinks he's a jackass. But like, no one likes him, and yet he recruits really well. He sells parents well.
Sorry. Do you think that he stays still now?
The calendar suggests he might. Who do they have this
week? I just feel like the fan base will win out, man. I think they're so fed up and done. By the way, everyone's blaming Dave Portnoy for this. Like, they're like, boycott Barstool Sports in Louisiana, because Portnoy came out and said, I'd be willing to pay $3 million to get my Michigan Wolverines a quarterback. I'd be willing to go. He's like, NIL, like, can I just pay them? And they're trying to figure that out. So I don't know if it actually came from him, but they're not happy with Barstool Sports in the state.
They have Vandy in Oklahoma left, and is there not still an outside chance that they make the conference championship game? There still is a crazy wild scenario that they could still make the SEC title game.
Not realistic.
Like, Texas and A&M both have to lose 2 more games. Like, it's like, Texas got to lose out, A&M has to, which can't, I guess it can't happen from that standpoint.
So, I'm sorry if I missed you just saying this, because I know we referenced a lot, and so I may just miss it. Did you reference the Kelly buyout, how much it is?
No.
It's $62 million.
Now, they got it.
It's a lot of money, though. That's the fourth highest buyout in college football.
Who's above?
The guys above him include Mike Norvell. He's 63. Kalen DeBoer, 70. And then Kirby Smart is $118
million. $118 million. But look, A&M last year just showed that they could do it. They did 90-something million with Jimbo. And it worked. Jimbo created a culture of clowns down there at College Station. And they brought in a real football guy, Mike Elko. And he has them really one win away against Texas from going to the SEC championship game.
Got to beat Auburn first.
Got to beat Auburn first, and they're only a 2.5-point favorite. On the Fan this Saturday, we have Oklahoma hosting Alabama at 6 o'clock, and then we're going to follow that one up with The battle for Hollywood, USC and UCLA. I have no idea what the rivalry name is.
And that's where?
Right here on The Fan.
Good deal.
California.
This is not a great weekend for college football. I'm going to read you the games. Let's see. You have Kentucky, Texas. You have UTEP, Tennessee.
Kentucky sucks.
They do.
Alabama at Oklahoma. Again, that game right here on The Fan. Alabama's a 13.5-point favorite. You do have Indiana, Ohio State. And this is the one that's going to decide a whole... We're going to get a whole lot of clarity when it comes to the college football playoff this weekend.
Let's see how real Indiana really is.
Yes, sir. Boy. And, you know...
What's the spread on that?
10.5. Ohio State, 10.5.
It's a Cowboys Commanders spread.
Would you run to take Ohio State in that?
Well, it was at 12.5. And it got down to 10.5, and I've already taken Ohio State.
Okay.
I've already got that at 10.5. I think there's an upset brewing in Gainesville, though.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a UCLA reference.
No. Florida is a 12-point dog to Ole Miss. I think Florida's got a real chance to win that game. They played much better since they gave Billy Napier they said, look, you're coming back next year. They've been much better. They were very competitive with Georgia. They were not competitive with Texas. But then they beat LSU. DJ Lagway. He's turned into a nice little quarterback. He's a young kid. I think Ole Miss on upset watch. SMU is at Virginia. They're a 9.5-point favorite. Listen to the rest of this crap. Illinois, Rutgers, UMass, Georgia, Penn State, Minnesota. Is Penn State an upset alert there at Minnesota?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I know you don't trust Drew Aller. You don't trust Penn State in general.
And real quick, Colorado's at Kansas. Arizona State is hosting BYU. The tickets for this are like out of sight for Arizona State. I love Arizona State and the points here. And you got Army Notre Dame as well.
RJ Choppy with a college football kegger with some of the action right here on this station. Is Mike McCarthy willing to change out my car battery? What is he thinking about facing Dan Quinn? And when's Trey Lance? How does Trey Lance get on the field? The head coach of the Dallas Cowboys joins us next. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys Commander. Sunday on this radio station, it's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Happy Friday to everyone, including Coach, who's joining us now on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, scenario time. You got 40 minutes to be at work. You go and start the car, and the battery is absolutely dead. What is Mike McCarthy doing in that situation with 40 minutes to get to work?
Oh, well, I think it depends on what era I'm in. In my younger days, I pop the hood and get to work.
But
today's world, I'm making phone calls.
Okay, but who are you calling? When's the last time you've been in a rideshare, an Uber or a Lyft?
Yeah, it's within a year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I know there are fancier ones.
There are fancier ones. Yes,
sorry.
It's called Not For Us.
I thought Coach was definitely going to go with a Pittsburgh guy is not going to be, you know, like calling the Uber or Lyft like I did. He's either changing out the battery. Does everyone have a spare battery, though, in their garage?
The jumper cable.
I thought Coach was going jumper cables right there. Yeah.
Yeah, jumper cables, definitely. But I don't, you know, it is a different day and age, and just fortunate to have a second car too. So that'd probably be my first reaction.
Are you a good handyman around the? And my car died, so I had to get the ride share. I can't get my hands dirty like that this morning. So I barely made it in for you, Coach. But are you a good handy guy?
Not with automobiles, but used to do a lot of construction with my father growing up.
Nice.
You know, he had duplexes and you know, apartments that he was always, you know, renovating and fixing up. So did a lot of that. But actually, I don't do much of it now because actually my wife really enjoys that.
Really enjoys it.
Well, wow. you get a flat tire on the road, you change it yourself though.
Today. Maybe not today, but I've changed plenty of tires in my you know, younger days for sure.
He's calling the helicopter to come pick him up.
Yeah, I'm driving a better vehicle these days too than those younger days.
Those run flats are amazing.
Coach, just take us through some of the memories that come into your mind as you get set to take on Dan Quinn. As we obviously know about his history here, and a nice job really turning around y'all's defense. Just what kind of has gone through your mind about the DQ memories this week?
Well, I think, you know, number one, you know, just starting to talk about Dan, you know, I just, you know, you think about the personal relationship that we have, and, you know, those are times that, you know, I know I miss, and then just the simple things, you know, the long conversations, you know, in his office or in my office, you know, he's, you know, generationally, we kind of came up in this league at the same time. So I've always appreciated his music taste, which was always blaring in his office. So at the end of the day, so, you know, we were here a lot together, you know, at the end of the day, particularly Thursdays and Friday nights. So I definitely miss his friendship.
And what was a common genre that you guys agreed upon?
Probably boxing. You know, we talked a lot about boxing, and I think just the great, you know, the great heavyweight division of the 70s, and, you know, this, the great fighters that we all admired, you know, growing up. You know, when the Four Kings Netflix series came out, we were both really into that, because, you know, you just remember those days.
Coach, I saw you at the fight. A little quick sidebar: Choppy was also there. Disappointing you guys didn't meet up.
We did not see each other. He was in a better seat.
That's right. But Choppy says that a boxing fight, in his opinion, is like the biggest electricity event if it's a good one. Could you see yourself agreeing with that, just the electricity of a big fight being there?
Oh, definitely. I was so impressed with the whole atmosphere at AT&T. I wasn't at the Canelo fight, and everybody was, you know, talking about how electric that evening was too, but yeah, I'd have to agree. It's a different atmosphere, but definitely the electricity was outstanding.
Mike McCarthy here on the Fan. Back to DQ. Their defense, you know, isn't anything fantastic, but just like scheme wise, coach, is this pretty much what he was doing here? As much as as much as you're willing to say about it, scheme wise, is it looking like really, really familiar to the Cowboy days?
Yeah, the foundation of it is, you know, the starting point, you know, particularly in the sub packages, you know, philosophically, you know, Joe Witt is really pivoted off of, you know, what was done here. You know, Joe was involved in the construction of the defense here. So now, it, just like all of us, when you do get a chance to coordinate, you take it, you know, the direction you truly believe in. And I think Joe's done a really good job there. But yeah, there's a lot of the similar concepts, but the variations in how it's being called is definitely tailored more to Joe.
Coach, a lot of your depth had departed this offseason and ended up in Washington on offense and defense with Tyler Biadasz, even former players like Noah Brown over there now, Noah Igbinoghene, just different guys. Which is more advantageous for you guys, do you feel like, at times? Is it the familiarity with the scheme and the coaches, or the familiarity with some of those players on the other side?
I think they go hand in hand, frankly. I think, like anything, you know, you really break them down separately at the beginning of the week. You know, the first thing we do on Monday, you know, we get together there at dinner time, is we have a personnel meeting, and our personnel department does an excellent job of coming in and giving us a forecast of what they've seen in the most recent update of, you know, the past game. So, you know, and then with that, the coaches have already really started their pre-prep, you know, Thursday, Friday, the week before. And you tie it together. But they're both very important, and I think it helps when you do have, you know, a connection to the players and also to the schemes that they're running.
Mike McCarthy joining us here at 105.3 The Fan. Has Jaden Daniels exceeded the evaluation that y'all had on him, you know, coming out of college? Is he the same type of player?
Oh, I wouldn't say so. I think all those, that whole group, it was an excellent group of young quarterbacks, and, you know, and I think they've all started out the right way. Now, it's just like anything. It depends on what team you go to and the opportunity you have, and, you know, just having a rookie quarterback really only – going through it one time, from my personal experience, you know, as much as it's put on the, is the young man ready to play the position, and how fast is he success? I think it's critical. If you look at the history of rookie quarterbacks that have been successful, you know, it's what's around them is probably most important. So when you do have a excellent defense and a run game and things like that to go with it, I always look back at Ben Roethlisberger when he took over with the Steelers there. So. And had a great rookie year, but you know, it was an established team. So I think when you put around those guys is important, and I think all those young quarterbacks are doing a really good job. It was an excellent class, and he was definitely up at the front.
Coach, there was a lot of Lamar comparisons with the running style. Does he run as much as Lamar, and are they similar as runners, or definitely different?
Well, I mean. Similar, I'd say closer to similar than different. I think the fact that how they're being used, you know, I mean, it's there's definitely a responsibility for the quarterback to run in their system. You know, maybe not as much as Lamar, but I think Lamar is really in a class by himself.
Yeah,
and I think you have to be careful to compare anybody to him right now. You know, I think just the way he's played the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, he's playing at MVP level every year.
Yeah.
This young man's off to a great start, and I think, you know, the other thing too, I think his passing traits are top notch too, and he'll continue to grow, particularly in, you know, the concepts that he's in, and you know, having better, you know, touch and feel for those. But he can make any throw to any part of the field.
Coach, Micah kind of lit up at his locker yesterday talking to the media when he was talking about the opportunity to play this week against Washington and get that competitive opportunity against Dan Quinn. Is that something you're noticing throughout the locker room this week with guys? Is a little bit of extra competitive juice knowing like, oh, hey, we get to go against an old friend of ours. This will be something that gives us a little bit of extra juice this week.
Oh, I think it's, you know, that's all part of it. I think it's really the division game. You know, playing Washington is always – bright energy, you know, as long as I've been here. So all of our division opponents bring that to the table. I think when you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're everybody's rival, and that's part of the responsibility and how you have to train and the mindset you have to be in. So I think it starts there. And yeah, definitely Dan. And there's a lot of former comrades on, you know, in Washington too. So that always brings extra competitive juice. And you know, I think we're just seeing Micah get back to, you know, full strength. Micah had his best practice yesterday. I thought he was outstanding yesterday. He was flying all over the field. So I think it's always, you know, a number of things. But in the other part, too, is, you know, it's a short week. You know, this game is really coming fast.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, because we're all focusing on a tough stretch here every single day, who has played – let's give some props to someone who we're not talking about enough. Who is someone – because Coach broke down the other day emotionally over Marquise Bell, and that just got me to thinking. Who is someone else that has been standing out to you here over these past few weeks that we're not highlighting enough?
Oh, offense or defense? Where would you like to start?
Whoever, John. One of each.
I would say Cooper Beebe, just because for a rookie to play center – in this league and to do it as consistently as he's done it has been really impressive. I mean, not only the physical part and, you know, all the stunts and games that we've been experiencing, you know, as far as the challenge up front, but just to handle the mental and the emotional and the communication responsibility. I think he's been a steady rock in there. So I've been very impressed with him. And I would probably jump to defense and go right to Overshawn. I think he's a young man that just keeps getting better and better each week. You know, he makes flash plays, but you know, his consistency of, you know, just being all over the field and just a better understanding of the defense, you know, every time he goes out there. So I'd say those two guys.
Mike McCarthy, join us here on The Fan. You mentioned this tough stretch here with a short week, and you're coming off a short week. Do you find this stretch, the Sunday Thursday, to be the most difficult to navigate, every year?
I think if you go through it for the first time, just being fortunate to be in the league, even in Green Bay, it seems like we played Detroit probably every other year or every third year over there. So, I do have experience with it. So I think when it's new to you, it's probably difficult, but it's really today's NFL. I mean, it's you know, let's be honest, they're going to be playing football games every day of the week before, you know, before long. I just think it's just the world that we live in, and, you know, the training regiments are smarter, you know, than prior, I know, to earlier in my head coach in career. I think I have a better understanding of what you can get done in a 6-day week versus a 7-day week, an 8-day week, or a 4-day week. So I think experience, it does, you know, I don't think it's as much as a big deal. And our guys, they deal with it every year. So it's just kind of normal here.
You know, I know you've mentioned that Cooper Rush gives you all the best chance to win, you know, that game that day. You know, but a lot of fans do want to see Trey Lance play. What? How far away is he? What does he still have to show you in practice to get that playing time?
Well, I think you've really answered the question. When we start each week, it's, you know, you build a plan and you try to set your lineup to win the game. And it's not really what Trey needs to do. I mean, Trey's really done everything that's been asked of him. I mean, he's developing. He has a really good understanding of the offense. You know, we have done things for him package wise. If that opportunity does present itself, it's not as much about what he needs to do. We just feel that, you know, Cooper has established himself as the number two, and that's the way we're going right now.
Coach, Cliff Kingsbury spent some time away from the NFL, went to USC, has come back and has had a lot of success here with this Commanders offense, and particularly running the ball. Is there anything that you've seen on tape this week that says, oh, okay, I see some of the different philosophy changes he's had here, or is it just some of those concepts are having better success that he was using back in Arizona?
I think it's a combination of both, but mainly really just what he's always done. I mean, you know, Cliff was, you know, part of the, you know, air raid family, and, you know, what he did in college. I think really the up-tempo stuff is the best part of it, of his offense, and just my opinion. I've always appreciated the speed and the ability to conceptually throw volume with that. So I've always been a fan of, you know, Cliff's. I had a chance to coach Cliff back in the, you know, my New Orleans Saints days. So I've always liked his mindset and his mind for football. But you can always, you know, I think it's really in the last 10 years or so, you would say the impact of college football on pro football has been pretty fluent, you know. So everybody pays attention to what goes on, you know, in college and vice versa in the NFL.
Well, Coach, my mom is on the way to the airport in Maryland, getting ready to fly out here for Thanksgiving, but she wanted to pass along. She is such a fan of you on the interviews, so I had to say that and pass it along. So well done again, and good luck in Washington. We look forward to next week.
All right, I appreciate that. You guys have a good quick week, I guess. When are we up? We up Friday? Or yeah, what's the schedule? Yeah,
I don't actually know.
Peyton, get on the mic.
Yeah, it'll be next Friday.
I guess everything's not a routine.
All right, get it.
Norm, use this by now.
All right, get out of here.
A good week or so. Whatever. I'll talk to you next.
Mike McCarthy brought to you by the Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Did you see this Kelce incident? And you got to hear Jameis after Thursday Night Football, plus some RJ football degenerate picks for the weekend. Final hour of the week next on The Fan.